Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, Professor of Transformational Leadership at the Wright Graduate University for the Realization of Human Potential. And today we're going to talk about the human touch in a relationship. You know, babies, if they're not touched, they'll die. Touch is necessary for us, but there comes a point when it can become irritating. When is touching too much? When is it not enough? That's really something every couple has to work out together. But we all yearn to be touched and to touch. Here's how to meet your partner's yearnings. And it's a matter of sense and respond. In my relationship with Judith, she wasn't raised in as touchy a household as I was, but there was a fair amount of affection in my house. I wouldn't say it was a great deal. My parents were fairly stoic, but I was raised to be affectionate just as my father was affectionate. And one of the nice things that I actually thank God about pretty frequently is that Judith responds to touch so beautifully. And she enjoys being thrown around, not violently, but playfully. And she's just incredibly responsive. I don't know what I would do if my partner weren't responsive. But what do you do when you don't feel it? Well, you start looking inside because you do yearn for it. And you've got to find out where that yearning got lost. Was it inconsistent? Was touching for your mother's benefit, not for yours? Does it bring up longing? Because one feeling brings up other feelings. And you've got to ask yourself if you really want to go into those feelings. My overall bias is that warm and cuddly is the way to live. And I am not a big fan of anti-PDA. I never knew the expression PDA until Judith and I were at a wedding in New Delhi, India. And for the women were quite taken by our physical affection and uncomfortable with it. But it was clearly a big, we weren't indecent or untoward, but it was actually a big deal that a number of women clustered around Judith to discuss. Of course, she had gorgeous Indian-style clothes on, which gave them something to start talking about and comparing their dresses, but the interest really stemmed into how she got away with all this PDA, public display of attention and affection, and it's really an interesting rule that I think goes back to Puritanical times. Somebody's going to have to look that up for me. I don't know where PDA got to be a standard term, and that it was inappropriate to be affectionate in public, strikes me as a pretty darn tight-assed approach to things, and pretty heavy, and pretty serious, and pretty injurious to good relationships. Why do I say it's injurious? Because the easy, natural flow of affection very easily turns into a sexual focus. You see that a lot of couples are starving for affection. And what they try to do is they try to fuck that affection away. They try to make up for lost time, think of it. So the man is cold and distant, not very warm and very affectionate, but a great lover. And so the woman has got the hope that she can get all of her affection needs met in the act of sexual intercourse. Why limit yourself when there's so much other intercourse to be had? So many ways that we can affirm each other. Because after all, we're all hungry to be affirmed. We're all hungry to be reassured. We're all hungry to know that we're okay. In existential psychology, they say that we are anxious. All anxiety is flowing through us all the time. Just as there's electrical current flowing through a battleship all the time. Put a couple different pieces, types of metal together, and you generate current. And the current in a battleship would eat away the rivets if they didn't put in zinc anodes. Zinc, being a soft metal, absorbs the electrical current. Interesting. You just replace the anode. We're a system. We have a charge going through us. We have an urge to reach out that had to be repressed when we were little. In order to get socialized, we had to do that. Don't you think it's time that you unrepressed that urge? Don't you think it's time that you started getting more affection out of life, that you started getting more affirmation, that you started getting a greater sense of contact and a greater sense of mattering to other people? After all, isn't that what's going on when we touch and allow ourselves to be touched? So, this holiday season, it's going to be a good opportunity for us to look at this, and our first caller is going to give us another one. It's Joe. He says his girlfriend gets mad when he's too physically aggressive. We've talked about that before, Joe. Tell me about it.
Yeah, no, we have. Well, you know, I think I get like kind of, I get just excited to see her, and unlike previous women I've dated before, she wanted a level of, you know, pressure. Like, she wants literally like not to squeeze too hard, caress, slow down, hold. And I this is just like when I greet her at the door. I've learned like I need to be a little more patient, but I'm like curious about these surges I get, because they're just like bursts of like energy and excitement, and sometimes I get them like while we're arguing, and I just kind of want to like, I just see this like cute little girl in her, and I want to kind of like correct, like touch her face, and she gets really upset and angry. So, you know, I mean, this is more of like,
well, of course,
I'm kind of curious what's going on.
She thinks you're trying to throw her off.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably are. You're invalid.
She said she does not feel heard in those moments.
No, Josh.
Right. And so I've been like kind of watching myself and watching my hungers with her, you know, when I feel those surges. But something you said in the intro, I guess, brought me to another point. Is like, I often only feel like really like when it comes to like being intimate, I feel more inclined to do that. I feel way less inclined to be intimate when I feel hurt or upset by her. Like, I am not in the mood at all.
Of course.
Of course.
You want to communicate that those times you want to hurt her.
Say that again.
Wait, those times your communication is that you want to hurt her, so she knows that you're hurt and upset.
Yeah.
We're perfect communication tools, machines.
Right. But sometimes, like, she wants to kind of be physical with me, and I'm like, I don't feel queer with you. I don't want to. And I'm like, don't you feel that? Don't you feel that we're not queer? And you just, and then I kind of feel hurt and angry, and it kind of begins a discussion at a, I guess, awkward time.
Well, it sounds like she wants to make up with the nonverbal affection.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to deal with the substance of what was going on.
Right. Right, and I'm working on how to say some, like, say, I mean, I guess you clarified it well, really well, but, like, how to say that without her be, like, feeling blamed for something, or, you know, she kind of sometimes will roll her eyes at that we have to have a talk, right, when she wants to be physical.
Well, I think it's a matter of understanding family patterns and the way her family avoided things and the way your family avoided things and how those family patterns are showing up in the two of you. Seems to me that if you let her know that you want to resolve the issue first, what's the problem?
Right. Yeah. And when, it's not uncommon
for people to want reassurance in a fight and to try and get affectionate in a way that actually keeps the fight from being resolved.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And it's like, I'm really working on how I give her this information, because, like, what I'll say is, like, you're trying to avoid something. I'll kind of blame her for avoiding. And
well, that's an accusation. That's not just dealing with it. Just tell her, start dealing with what you need to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like you want to indict her and blame her, and you use her hunger for affection against her.
Yeah. I mean, and this is taking me work, Bob. Like, it's taking me years to just, I mean, historically, I was just like, oh, let's have sex. Yeah, absolutely. Let's have sex anywhere. And it's taking me a lot of work to kind of feel my, like, when I'm not congruent with her and feeling upset or feeling, like, unresolved, there's unresolved emotions there, and how, and that influencing my physical sex drive. That's, like, that's new for me.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
But the time to talk about it is when it's not happening.
Right. Right. And I feel shame historically if, like, I just can't jump into it and, you know, wanting to be physical with her.
When you say physical, you mean sexual.
Correct, yeah. Sexual.
Well, seems to me that the normal communication is to start with wherever the conflict is and learn and grow from that conflict and grow closer together.
Yeah, and because, yes, I agree. And once we, you know, as rocky as it is to clear the conflict, or at least get to what's bothering or bugging me or her, once we do, it's like I feel really intensely connected to her sexually or physically.
Well, sounds to me like you two need to replay this recording and get talking about how you're going to work things in these situations.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do. Thanks a ton, Bob. Great subject. I loved your introduction, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Sure thing.
Our second caller is Adriana. She said, what should I do? My husband's brothers and sisters always pull me into their drama with their partners and spouses, and I don't want to be in the middle. Oh, really? Tell me about it, Adriana.
Hi. My husband is the oldest at his home. So all the time, I think that he has to solve all the problems for the family. And I don't know what to do or what I should do.
Okay. And so you start thinking you're supposed to solve the problems and you end up in the middle too.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of the drama triangle. There's a victim and a persecutor, and you end up being the rescuer. And then they end up persecuting you probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a great observation on your part. And so what are you going to do next time that they are inviting you into the middle? Because if you didn't want to be in the middle, you wouldn't be in the middle. So what is it you want that gets you in the middle?
It gets me in the middle when they go and see him, and I have to help him to get through this, so it doesn't affect in my family.
Oh, so you try to avoid upset.
Yeah.
So what would happen if you let the upset happen but stayed out of it?
I don't know.
Sounds like an experiment you need to have and see what it is your yearning is, because my guess is you yearn to matter and you yearn to be important and you yearn to have contact, and those are basic yearnings. And so your yearning is not getting met in some other way, so you step into the drama triangle with them.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a hard one for you.
Yes, I know. But what is it's harder when, for example, the problem gets bigger, and like I don't resolve the problem, but it's how can I say? I don't resolve the problem, and at the end, the problem gets bigger, and I get stuck in the problem, and I don't know how to get out.
Well, yeah, that's when you're in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't get in the middle, then you can sit by and just ask questions and responsibly say, wow, you two really are going at it. I wonder what you're going to do to resolve it. And then you got to watch it, because they'll try to get you into the middle again.
So what you are saying is just stay out and just see?
Well, the drama triangle was originally coined by Karpman in the transactional analysis tradition. And transactional analysis sees the drama triangle as a series of games. A game in transactional analysis is a gambit of behavior geared to get some outcome that you're not asking for directly. So you want attention. You want to be important. And rather than asking for attention just for yourself, you move into the drama. So that's an irresponsible way to get attention and importance for you.
Mm-hmm.
The responsible thing is for you to actually work to get attention just for you, for what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
to talk about your wants and needs. And one of the best things you can do is observe the pattern of their conflict and say, the other part of the pattern is, I've traditionally jumped in, and I want you to know I'm not going to this time. I think it's time that something else happened, and I'm going to start that something else by not getting into this with you. And I'm not going to talk about this incident with either one of you again. And if you say anything to me, I'm going to tell each of you to talk directly to the other.
Okay.
Now, do I think you can do that? No. I should say, do I think you will do that? No. I think you will continue to dive in.
So what do you think that is the first step that I should do?
Well, I think you'll keep doing it until you see the game more clearly and see what it is you want and start going more directly for what you want and learn to be your own woman. Because these triangle games are generally enmeshment and attempts at intimacy and satisfaction in a system that doesn't meet people's needs.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you learn to get your own needs met, the more they will be forced to really deal with each other.
Okay.
I know you don't like the answer.
Yeah.
It's kind of like telling a smoker to quit smoking.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because you're addicted to it. How was the drama when you were growing up?
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
No,
what does
it wasn't
mean?
Bad.
What does that mean? So there was drama, but it wasn't bad.
No, because my mother, she's very patient and calm, but my father is kind of, I believe that he says something and he doesn't think what he say after he say it.
Your dad was the persecutor, and your mom was the rescuer, and you were the victim.
Okay.
There's somebody else in this conversation that's not speaking into it.
Yeah, this is Sasha translating, helping her understand.
Hi, Sasha.
Hi, Bob.
No, you're doing great, Adriana. Just keep going.
Okay. Thank you so much for the advice. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Sasha, so you're teaching them the drama triangle.
You got lucky. I did it yesterday, Bob. It's not part of English as a second language class, but I just happened to do it yesterday.
What great subject matter for English as a second language, though, because everybody can relate.
Absolutely. That's why I did it.
That's fantastic. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. It'll make the English stick a lot more, won't it?
Yeah, big time. Everybody relates.
Yeah, and all the soap operas are full of drama.
Yeah, he wants the movie, the novella.
And the soap operas are good ways to learn English.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have a young man I'm coaching in China who just, well, about a year ago, he passed the highest level Chinese test for a foreign student. And he's received one of the best foreign student scholarships at Beijing University to finish his doctorate. He has a full ride there. And he has been memorizing television shows and repeating the accents of the different actors on the show so that he can develop mastery of Chinese.
Great. Yeah.
And what better way to study television drama than the drama triangle? Good for you. So you've also got a question of your own, Sasha.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it says your wife can't fall asleep when you're working on a computer in another room, but have to finish work and real check-ins, of, among other things, and read check-ins. What can you do if she can't fall asleep when you've got work to do?
That's right. So what can I do? I have to find a time to do my work, not at night. I wake up early.
Okay, there you go. That's one.
Yeah.
But what's going on that she can't go to sleep if you're not with her?
Well, she can't fall asleep. Her medication, she needs to take medications, otherwise she can't fall asleep. That's the history of our youth. You know, so I think it's just that aftermath of all the chemical disbalance we put ourselves through. You know, so she just can't fall asleep. She wakes up at every sound, and she just, you know, feels me there and can't fall asleep if I'm not close to her.
Well, it sounds like she's got a lot of fear that she needs to get comforted on, and it sounds like there's actually a project to engage in to help her develop more internal self-comforting strategies.
Got it.
And that's really her job. You can act as an intermediary, but she's got to internalize those ways to comfort herself.
Okay, so you don't think it's physical?
Well, everything becomes physical after a while, but I'm speaking specifically about the capacity to soothe and comfort herself. If she can go to bed, she can go to sleep with you, then there's something you provide that's not chemical, that's psychological. And it's physical because it has comfort. But there's clearly some anxiety there where she needs to learn to internalize that for herself. And in the name of this drama triangle, you end up being her rescuer.
Yeah.
And she ends up being the victim. And so she needs to learn how to give herself what she gets when you rescue. And you have to learn to give yourself what you get when you rescue, because it allows you to feel important. It gives you a reason to have more warmth and comfort, too. So there are some deeper questions for the two of you to engage in.
Okay. I got it. Thank you, Bob.
Actually, very exciting as a project to take on that internal self-comforting and self-soothing project. And it takes time for that.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sasha. And thank you, Adriana. And now we've got a question from Feigen online. He says, what should I do if my girlfriend has an absolutely different set of values? Well, we need to know more about that, George. And is Feigen able to respond? Well, it's interesting, but almost every marriage is a collision of cultures. One family's culture and another family's culture, and different cultures have different values. But I don't have a set formula for what to do to resolve these value differences. But I do know that when people do that, they end up learning and growing. And oftentimes there's a higher value for both of them to go to. One of them is from an Italian culture, and they engage fully in conflict, let's say. Another one is from a Nordic culture, an Asian culture, and they avoid conflict. Well, what's the higher level value for the two of them? Why, the truth is the higher level value. Personal responsibility, that the avoider needs to learn to engage more, and the one who conflicts more probably needs to learn to be more responsible, and allowing them to learn and grow together and to make these differences a dynamic part of the richness in the couple. It's very exciting when you do that. I have a couple I'm working with right now where he came from a big family as a conflict avoider, and she came from a smaller family, and she was more pampered as a child, but she actually had to go through our labs before she started getting more assertive. And now he's been through the year, but he still tends towards the conflict avoidant point of view, thinking there's something wrong with conflict. Took him several years to start realizing that conflict didn't mean the relationship was over. So there's room for us to learn and grow all the time. I want to thank you for joining us for Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio. We'd love to have you join us December 8th for our holiday celebration. That's next Tuesday night. It's going to be at 7:30. We're going to have hors d'oeuvres and some holiday drink, a non-alcoholic. And then at 8 o'clock, we'll start the celebration. There will be warm conversation, singing, sharing what it's like to be here in this country in the holidays. We'll have some people will be remembering fond times around the Christmas tree in childhood. Others will remember painful times. Our Muslim students will talk about what it's like to not be part of a celebration that gets pushed around so far. Our Jewish students generally have something to say about it. Our atheists will often chime in. But all together, we come together in song and celebration of ourselves and the human potential movement of which we are a part. We'd love to have you also join us January 15th to 17th for our January Foundations training of 2016. It'll be the first one. Thank you for joining us. Go forth and engage. Ignite your world.